Man, I feel like saying amen and going home, but you're not going to get that lucky. Wow. Thanks, Tim and the worship team for doing that. Hey, real quick, before we kind of dive into week number two of our series, let me kind of put a plug in for next week. We're going to take just a one-week break, and we're going to do something here next week during this time that we have never done here at this church. And so, man, invite your friends. I want you to come prepared. For God to just to kind of work through you, and I don't want to give it away, but I can tell you, you will never have a service like you'll have next week. And so let me invite you to come back, and then we'll jump back into our series the following week. And as I said this morning, if you're a first-time guest, this is week number two of our series, Roots, Growing in Christ, and this series is based out of a New Testament book written by the Apostle Peter, and it's 1 Peter. And what we learned last week is that if you and I want to have our spiritual lives to become and be all that we want it to be and all that God intends it to be so that we can persevere through some of life's difficult challenges. And let me stop right there. How many in the last 6 months have experienced a difficult challenge? Okay, all of us. So if we want our lives to be all that we want it to be, all that we hope it to be, all that God wants it to be, and a life that will help us persevere through life's greatest challenge, you and I must develop deep and healthy spiritual roots. And we learn that for spiritual growth to occur, we must first plant our lives in the fertile soil of salvation. It all starts and ends with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we learned that salvation is not something we made up. It was God's idea. He preconceived it. It was His idea from the very beginning that no one should perish, but everybody have eternal life with Him. And it was predicated by the Savior, so He came and set the standard and say, hey guys, I'm all God, but I'm all man. Look at me, imitate me. This is the way to get to eternal life. It says, through me. In fact, He claims this. I don't claim this. He says that if you want to get to the Father, you have to go through Jesus Christ. And then when we say yes, something just mystical and mysterious and marvelous and magnificent happens is that in our lives are presided over by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when we sit in these services and we begin to think that our neighbors are hearing our hearts, can I just tell you that's the Holy Spirit trying to just let you know how much God loves you? It's His invitation to join with Him. And when we get in situations that we don't really understand and we cry out to God, it is that presiding Holy Spirit that guides and directs and, yes, sometimes corrects and admonishes us when we need to. And this salvation is presided over. We are secure. It's kind of like, and I'm blessed today. I'm a little bit overwhelmed today because this is the first time really in 10 years that all of my children have been within driving distance of me. And my oldest is here, and my youngest daughter's here. I've got my son-in-law here. I got my two grandbabies here. And I wish my son was here, but he's not suffering. He's in Cancun right now with his mother and father-in-law. So I'm a little bit angry at him. He'd rather spend time in Cancun than with his dad in church. Go figure. But I love having my family here, and no matter what happens, my kids are my kids. Why? Because they are born into my family. Through the love that Karen and I have, they are secured forever as my children. And if you have been a product of the love of Jesus Christ, the Father and the Holy Spirit, you are forever secured because you're His child. And we just need to understand that. And this salvation that we get to experience was also proclaimed by the saints through their prophecies. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at several areas of growth that occur when and if a person's life is fully rooted in Christ Jesus. So if you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, I want to ask you to get to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to be looking this morning at verses 13 through 25. And as you're getting there, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 25, as you're getting there, I want to establish right up front several key truths to kind of lay the foundational work for what we're going to talk about this morning so that you can fully comprehend and begin to apply this message to your life. It's one thing of saying I understand it, but it really doesn't become reality until we begin to apply. Application is always the key. And so the first truth that I want you to know before we jump into this is that followers of Jesus Christ are supposed to bear fruit, spiritual fruit. No one gets to say yes to Jesus and not produce spiritual fruit. In fact, the Apostle Paul was praying for his disciples or the followers of Jesus. He says this in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. He says, look, I'm praying for you that you be filled with the knowledge of His will, not ours, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, and here it is, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. You might want to underline or highlight on your app, growing and bearing fruit and knowing God. So the very first truth is you and I were created as followers of Jesus Christ to bear fruit. Number two, second truth, we can only produce healthy spiritual fruit when we're personally rooted in Jesus. A lot of people try to produce and mimic spiritual fruit in their own strength, and they wonder why it doesn't last very long. It's because perhaps they're not rooted deeply in Christ Jesus. We must be rooted. Jesus says it, not me, John 15, 5. He says, look, guys, I'm the vine and you're the branches. But he that abides in me, he who's connected to me, the same will bring forth much fruit. And he goes on to say, he says, apart from me or without me, you can do nothing. Now, what he's talking about, we can do a lot of things, but the nothing he's talking about, we can't do anything of spiritual, long-lasting, eternal value outside of him. We can do a lot of good things, but we can't do Christ things outside of him. Third truth, if we base and we're rooted in Christ Jesus and we begin to produce fruit because we're plugged into him, the third truth is that you and I will experience joy and fulfillment as we bear spiritual fruit. In other words, we'll be happy. Now, that word is subjective, but the word happy here, we see in Psalm chapter 1, and I love this. He goes, how happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path of sinners or join a group of mockers. Now, let me stop right there, and I don't want you to raise your hand, but I do want you to answer in your heart. Could you truly say that you're happy? Now, I'm not saying that you're in happy circumstances. I'm saying deep down inside, you have this fulfillment and satisfaction, this joy that is inexplicable, that you're happy. And if you're not, then it's this morning the opportunity for us to check our root system to see where we're plugged into. Because if we're plugged into Jesus, the psalmist says, how happy is the man? He says, we don't sit in the path of the wicked and do what the world's doing. He goes, instead, that person's delight is in the Lord's instruction. And he meditates it on it day and night. It's not just a one time and done on Sunday morning. He, that person that does that, that's rooted, is like a tree that's planted beside streams of water that bears, here it is, bears its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Some of us, if we were to describe our lives this morning, we'd say we're withering leaves. Amen. Can I get a witness to that? And I'll tell you this, when our lives and our spiritual lives begin to wither, we better check out where we're planted and where the roots are dug down deep. Where are they going? But the truth of the matter is, in Jesus Christ, we will produce fruit. And when we do produce fruit, which is what we were created to do, guess what? You're going to be happy. Want to be happy? Get the root system right. And finally, the fourth truth is that spiritual fruit produces praise to God and it proves that we're His. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but here's what Jesus said in John 15. Again, his words, not mine. He says, my Father is glorified by this. And then there's a colon here. This is how my Father is glorified. It's how you would read that. Here, pay attention. This is how that you and I can glorify the Father, that you produce puny fruit. Produce a little fruit. No, he says, produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. In some verses it says, show yourselves to be my disciples. No one, if you say yes to Jesus, is exempt from fruit bearing. And I wish we had time to really unpack all of this, but there was one particular scene where Jesus walked and he saw a fig tree. It was supposed to be a fig tree. It looked like a fig tree, but it didn't produce any figs. And Jesus got rid of the tree. It wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. So in essence, if a fig tree doesn't produce figs, is it really a fig? Let's pray. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd lead us, guide us, direct us, show us, reveal to us what it is that you want to show us this morning. That none of us, God, walk out of here without the truth planted deep in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this week, I prepare probably a little different than most pastors. By the way, I had to share this with you. It has nothing to do with the message, so you can take it or leave it. But I saw this very cool T-shirt, and it's a picture of a guy riding on a motorcycle. And it says, I'm a pastor just like, and I'm a biker pastor. I'm just like any other pastor, just cooler. So, told you it had nothing to do with the message, but I prepare different. I'm just a little wired different. And as this week I was preparing and I'm thinking about fruit, and I decided to do a little research. And in all my research today, in preparation for today, I found an incredible truth. Incredible. There are no fruits that grow underground. No fruits that grow underground unless, well, I take that back. There is one if you consider a peanut a fruit. Technically, did you know that? I didn't know that a peanut was considered a fruit. So I'm thinking, well, Lord, why would you bring me to this? Because I really felt like this is where I was supposed to go. And then I discovered this. Whether or not you include or classify a peanut as a fruit, all fruits, even if you include the peanut, have two common things, two common denominators. Number one, they all have roots. And number two, they're all designed to be elevated. Now, what do I mean by that? They're not meant to stay in the ground. They're meant to be dug up. They're meant to be shown. They're meant to be harvested. They're meant to produce something that can be consumed. And we see here that being rooted in Christ Jesus is important, but it's only the beginning. When you and I say yes and the root system goes down deep, that's the most important thing that we do. But eventually, we're not to stay underground. We are to be elevated. We are to be shown. We are to come up out of the ground. And saying yes to Jesus is just the first step. It's not the end. You and I were not designed to be underground Christians. Or the kind of Christians that only come out once a week when we get behind closed doors. We're supposed to be those above ground Christians when we go out the doors. We are to elevate the name of Jesus. In fact, the scripture says, if my name be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. There's something about fruit when it grows up that is attractional, and people are drawn to it. And we see here in this growing in Christ, there is a purpose to where we'll come up out of the ground and we will produce fruit. Christians, we are designed just like every other of God's creation to be displayed in order to be seen and heard so that God can be glorified. That's why we were created. All things were created by Him, for Him, and all things were created through Him in order to glorify Him. It's not rocket science. In fact, the psalmist says in 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims the work of His hands. He goes on to say, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus, I just know that because he had read this, that he's sitting on the hill of the Beatitudes. By the way, those when we go to Israel, that group that's going with me, we'll be on that hill overlooking where he overlooked and shared this with a bunch of people who were listening. And here's what he told him. He says, you're the light of the world. Now listen, he says, a city that's on the hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. But they rather on a lampstand, so and it gives light for all who are in the house. And then I love his parallels and his metaphors. And he goes, hey guys, and in the same way as that, let your light shine before men so that they got to find your good works. No, he says, look what it says. It says that they may see your good works and bring glory to your Father in heaven. We were meant to be elevated so that He is elevated. God wants to lift us up as we lift Him up so He can lift others up to lift Him up. Does that make sense? He says, you're the light of the world so they may see your good works. So this morning, very, very briefly, I want to point three areas that will be elevated in your life. Not would, not should, not could, but will be elevated in you and me if we are truly rooted in Jesus Christ. A person who is rooted in Jesus Christ will elevate, number one, their focus. Verse number 13 through 14. Peter is, we just talked about last week about salvation. and all the intricacies of that. And then he uses the word therefore. Real quick Bible tip. Whenever you see the word therefore, you need to go back and see what it was there for. Seriously, it's a really easy tip so that you now know what he's about to say. Therefore, because of salvation, because of all the things that it was prepared for, it was God's idea, it was Jesus' manifestation, it's the Holy Spirit's residence, and it's our proclamation. He says, because of that, you elevate your focus. He says, therefore, with your minds ready for action, be serious and set your hope. This word set your hope is an interesting phrase. It talks about focus completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance. In other words, he says, look, you've been looking this way. It is time to look this way. You can't keep looking over there. You got to start looking up there. You got to start looking to God. You got to change your focus is what he's saying. And the key word here, if you have your notes, is look. Where are you looking? Where are you looking for life's answers to your questions? Are we looking to the world or are we looking to the creator of the world? There's a big difference. Rooted in Christ, the scripture teaches us that we are to look upward and outward. That's our focus. And yet, let's be honest, church, the most the time that we have is we live in a society of me monsters. I'm one, you're one. I mean, I won't ask you this morning to confess, but in your mind confess, how many times do we look at ourselves in the mirror? And I'm talking about literally and say, man, I'm good looking. You know, we want to look in that mirror at the right angle. You know, we don't want to see the one that sees that homemade yarmulke back here in the back of my head, you know. We want to see the thin angle, and we spend a lot of time focusing on ourselves. We do that physically. Friends, can I just tell you, we do that spiritually. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Oftentimes we come into this place and we think it's about us. It has never been about us. Our focus is on Him and it's on others. Him, God, them, others. And rooting, he says, in Christ, we are to look upward and outward and we are to quit focusing on what's behind us. A couple of years ago, I shared this analogy with a lawnmower that if you're mowing like this and looking backward, where's your life going to be going? You're not going to have straight lines. And many of us are so focused on the past, we're not looking upward and outward, and we wonder why our lives are screwed up. Why it's taken the paths that it has because of our focus. I love what Paul told the church at Philippi, one of his favorite churches. And he said to them, not that I've already reached the goal. Hey, none of us are there, okay? Just say that with me, I'm not there. We're not. I'm not and you're not. He says, not, and Paul wasn't. He says, not that I've already reached the goal or I'm already fully mature, but this, I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ. Jesus has me. Not just some of me, and when he has all of us, he has the right to direct us. And he says, brothers, I don't consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. He goes on, therefore, there's that word again. Because of that, if you're mature, you'll think this way. We put our focus on the temporary stuff, and we live our lives thinking if we'll just get here, and that'll satisfy, and that doesn't satisfy. So then we go here, and that doesn't satisfy. Can I tell you that the only thing that's going to satisfy you is the hope found in Jesus Christ? And the hope that is found that if I am buried with Christ in baptism, I'll be raised again with Him, and I'll be with Him in eternity? And when we keep that focus, it kind of changes all this stuff down here. Now, we're not there yet. And we constantly, it's a battle. So we are to elevate our focus if we're rooted in Christ. We're supposed to come up. There's a second thing, though, in verses 15 through 21. He says, but as the one who called you, and here's this word we just sang about. Because the one who calls you is holy, and I've always wondered about this, you also are to be holy in some of your conduct. Wait a minute, did he put that? All of your conduct. Oh, all of your conduct. Underline that, highlight it, circle it. All of your conduct. For it is written. And this is the verse that she was talking about in Isaiah. Be holy because I am holy. And if you address as Father the one who judges impartially based on each one's work, you are to conduct yourselves. If you really believe that God is who He says He is, you are to conduct yourself in fear during the time of your temporary residence. This is all temporary. For you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, inherited from the fathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but you've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He, Jesus, was chosen before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the time for you, and who through him are believers in God, and who raised him from the dead and gave him glory. Why? So that your faith and your hope are in God. Now, here's what I think he's trying to say, that if we are rooted in Christ, and we change and we elevate our focus, then out of that will come another elevation where we elevate our faith. And faith is, the key word here is your life. Living. You might want to word live or life. And this word holy, there's all kinds of different words in the Hebrew and the Old Testament. It means set apartness. And I loved her analogy of the beach. How many of y'all like the beach? I know the Heinrichs just got back from the beach. My daughter used to live on the beach. I love the beach. One day I'm going to put my, I hope to retire at the beach. There is something that really captivates you when you see the vast expansiveness, and why all that water didn't just come rushing in on you. There is something that is set apart. It is so different. And God is so holy when we take time to look at him. And he says now, and that's what I want you to look like. He says, you be holy. You need to be set apart like I am. And the second part of that word is set apart, not in a bad way, but the word sacred is used in a good way. Your life is to be sacred and set apart so that when people see you, Matthew 5:16, they will see what you do and how you act and hear how you talk. And as a result of that, they'll glorify the Father in heaven. In the New Testament, it's really the same thing. In the Greek, set apart, sacred, more reverent. Really what it means there is you are not to be like the world, although you're in the world, but you are to be set apart from the world. And as a result, when people see that, we ought to live lives to the point where people want what we've got. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. Do you know what that means? I've shared that with you. That means somebody's going to see Jay McFadden's life, and there's going to be a big question mark that says, what is it that you've got? Because I want it. And there's a song, you've got it, and I want it. I don't know if that's right or not. There went my singing skills. Sorry, Tim. But our lives, is your life a question mark to where people say, what he's got's what I want? What she's got's what I want. What they talk about and how they live their lives, that's what I want. He says, be ready to give an answer for that. And the only reason that anybody would have anything that I have is because the only thing worth having in Jay McFadden, the only thing, is Jesus Christ. Everything else pales in comparison to him. He goes on to talk about that, and we see that in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, and we talked about that before, but I want you to kind of just go again and look at this. It says, we are asking again that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will with all wisdom, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy, may live your life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, not ourselves, bearing fruit in every good work and growing. You might want to underline these three words, walk, fruit, and grow. So here's the question. If you elevated your focus, where are you focusing? Second question, if you elevate your faith and you're living out your faith, does your conduct reflect your faith? Does the walk match the talk? I like verse 22. I love my family. But what he's talking about here is not our immediate family, but he's talking about our brothers and this family, the body of Christ. And I believe that when we're rooted in Christ Jesus, the way we look at things, our focus changes. I believe when our roots go down deep and we're connected to the vine, our faith changes the way we live our life, and it responds and it starts when we begin, and as a result, we elevate our family. Look what he says here in verses 22 to 25. By obedience to the truth, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we know who the truth is. He says, by obedience to the truth, having purified yourself for sincere, you purify yourself for a reason. for sincere love of the brothers. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you've been born again. Not of a perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. He's talking about what we talked about last week, because of salvation. Because your heart's been changed, your roots go down deep. Now it's going to result in this coming up out of the ground. It's going to begin to bear fruit. And one of the places it's going to manifest itself is in the family of God. He said there is no other greater command. In fact, the key word here is love. Mark chapter 12. Verses 30 and 31, you know this. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. We know that one. Okay, we're supposed to love God. But he also goes on to say, but we are to love. The second one is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. When we get into this habit of being negative about the bride of Christ, and we've talked about this now a few times, we better check the root system. Something's coming unplugged. Because Jesus doesn't talk bad about his woman, his bride. He elevates her. Amen? Fact, dads, husbands, one of the things he does tell us in Ephesians 5:25, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He doesn't talk bad about his bride. And so when we do, guess what? We've unplugged somewhere. And the key word here is to love. And in John 15, verses 12 and 13, Jesus is telling his disciples, this is my suggestion. No, he said, this is my command. This is what I expect of you. He says, love one another as I have loved you. And he goes on to say, and he's already predicting how far he's willing to go for you and me. See, it hadn't happened yet. And he says, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. That's love. That is elevated fruit. That is being deeply planted. That is being assured of our salvation is in Christ Jesus. And it manifests itself, that love manifests itself in verses like John chapter 13 and 14, verse 14 and 15. He says, so, and Jesus had just done this. He just washed his disciples' feet. It's doing stuff. Love is doing stuff, not because we like it. It's because other people need it. It's to display, you know what? You're more high than I am. I mean that in a good way. You're highly, more highly esteemed than I am. You mean more than I mean myself. And Jesus washed the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who died, that was going to die and pay the price for our sins, the ultimate sacrifice, gets down on his knees and he washes stinky, nasty feet. And he says this, so if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you all also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example, fruit, elevated, you don't have to guess, that you should also do just as I've done for you. And really, here's what I would tell you, that love, true love, that is born out of the root system, buried deep in Christ Jesus, has the right focus, is living out in a normal faith basis on a daily basis, is going to result in fruit. But love exclaimed must be love expressed. To say I love you and then don't love in action is only this. And that means your root system's off. When we say we love you and then we go out and do it, or actually we go out and do it and then people ask us why and then we tell them why we do it, it's not because of us, it's because of Jesus. That's the way it's supposed to be. We elevate our focus. We elevate our faith. And then when we're growing in Christ, we will elevate and lift up and edify the family of God. In both word and deed. Actions always speak louder than words. So the question that we have as we prepare to close is, what ways are you expressing your care and your love for this family of God? Let's pray. Father, thank you for an opportunity to be challenged by your word. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're able to use the words of this messenger to expound what you're really trying to teach. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, you would have freedom to just knock on the doors of every heart, and from the inside they would open the doors and you would come in and just show what needs to be done. What's the next step? The so what and the now what? And Father, there are those here this morning who on the outside may seem to have it all together, but the fruit's not there. And so, Father, this morning I pray that as only you can, that you would convict. Really, that just means to reveal and to show that we're not where we need to be. And if that's you this morning, and that deep down inside, without a shadow of a doubt, you know, okay, you've got religion, but you don't have a relationship. And today you'd say, man, I got to get that changed. Just looking at my life, I realize that I've got a wrong root system and I need to get that right. Real simple, not difficult. Just simply tell God in your own words, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And I say yes to Jesus. I give you the keys to my heart. I let you have control. And it's with your help, I want to live the rest of my life in your root system. Others who have said yes to Christ have let the world just kind of chop around the root system, and sometimes we willfully pull up and try to plant back into the world, and we wonder why our spiritual leaf is withered. I suspect there's a lot of us here this morning that have experienced that, or maybe even right now are experiencing that. All you got to do is just tell God, Lord, God, I'm sorry. Man, I know better. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. The cool thing is with God is when you ask him in earnest, with an earnest heart, not only is he willing to forgive you, but he's willing to really just clean you up. And it's amazing what happens, what confession and repentance does. It just kind of is like a Miracle-Grow soil. It gets packed around the roots of your heart again, and all of a sudden, man, that fruit you were once producing, it starts coming alive again. And some of you here this morning said, man, I've lost my passion. I'm not producing like I used to be. Something's wrong. God, I'm sorry. Help me. Do what you need to do. You're the potter. I'm the clay. You got a right to crush me, God. If you got to do that to get my root system right, do it, God. Till the soil around my soul and get rid of all the weeds of life and the worries and the concerns. And God, help me go deep into you. Help me be who you want me to be. And deep down inside, all I want to be, I've just been playing too long. It's real simple, guys. Just in your own words, tell God right now, what do you want him to do in your life? God, we thank you. And I pray now that as we respond in song, Father, if you want us to get up out of our seats and come down here and pray down here in the front, that we'd do that. If we need to reach across the aisle and make something right with somebody, we'd get that right. That if we need to recommit our lives and all of our lives, our finances, our service, our jobs, our families, all of that, God, that we would do that today so that we could begin to elevate you and that others would know you because of who we are in Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way and only your way. In Jesus' name. Let's stand. And again, you might go ahead and stand. Tim's going to lead us. This area, we're just going to kind of declare this a sacred area, a chance where you can come and just, man, put your roots down deep. Get it in the good soil. You might want to pray. Whatever God leads you to do, would you do that? Let's do that now as we sing.
What heart could hold the weight of your love and know the height of your great worth. What eyes could look on your glorious face, shining like the sun? What heart could hold the weight of your love and know the height of your great worth? What eyes could look on your glorious face, shining like the sun? You are holy, holy.
There is no one like our God. There is no one higher than Jesus. It's at His name that every knee shall bow one day, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is indeed the Lord. If you would have a seat for just a second, only two more things and we'll be done. I'm going to ask our team that is going to Kenya to go ahead and join me now on the stage. And as they're coming, let me again just remind you that next week is a special, special, special day. And I want you to become prepared in your hearts. I think it's going to be a great Sunday. So again, you don't want to miss it. And this is our team. Let's see, I'll get where they can see you in the light there. We have eight people that are going. Karen Sandifer is our team leader that's going. And they're going into Kenya to partner with Real for Christ Ministries. And they're going to be ministering in a lot of different ways. Some in the school. They'll be meeting with, hopefully have some encounters with the Digo people that we're trying to reach and get the Word of God there. Karen and Aaron have been going for years now. And so our team is getting bigger and bigger. And so it's just going to, they're leaving Wednesday. And so did y'all have those? In just a minute, when they leave, and I pray, and I'm going to bless you, before I release you, they're going to be back there. There is a sheet that they're going to hand, and I want every one of you to take one, every single one of you. And I want you to put it up on your refrigerator. I want you to put it in your Bible. I'll put it on top of your Bible so at least you'll see it. And some of you that don't see it till each week. But put it where you can see it. And it's got a picture of their faces. And this next few, until July the 5th, they leave tomorrow and they come back July the 5th, I'm going to ask you to join with me to commit to pray for this team by name, by face, every day that they're gone, that God would use them so that others would see Jesus in them and bring glory to the Father in heaven. And so they have gone. I want you to know they have, man, they've had garage sales. We've had Dave and Buster's. They're going at their own sacrifice. They've written letters. But they are going because they sense the calling of Jesus to go into Kenya and share the love of Jesus with the people that don't, so many who don't yet know him. And so what I want to do is I'm going to ask you to stand again, not just yet, but when I say go, we're going to stand. And I just want you to just kind of just focus. I want you to just burn their images in your heart so that you can pray for them every day. And I know having David Cummings' image in your heart may scare you to death, but I'm just telling you, this is a great team, and we want to pray for their safety. We want to pray that God uses them. So let's stand. Go. We'll stand, and then I want to pray for them, and then I want to just give you guys a blessing. But do not leave without getting one of those prayer sheets. So let's, church, pray with me. Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ and the power of your Holy Spirit that we commission this team, your team, hand-selected, hand-picked, gifted the way that you need them to be. We commission them to the people of Africa, specifically the areas in which they're going there in Kenya. God, I pray that you would use them in ways that would astound them. But Father, I pray that there would be less of them and more of you, and as that happens, that the question will truly be asked by those around them, what's different? And then they share the answer, Jesus. And I pray, God, and I, in advance, I thank you for the decisions for Jesus that are already going to be made. Thank you that we get to impact kids, a future generation for you. I pray, Father, that you'll just bless them. Would you bond this team together with one another, but also with you and with the Real for Christ ministry, with the people there and the Digo people. And God, just keep them safe on the plane. I pray that, man, that 19, 20 hours on the plane will go by quickly, God. And I just pray that all the transfers will be made, and God, you'll keep them health-wise safe. And I pray, God, that as they come back on July the 5th, God, that we'll hear stories, your stories, of what you did for those, through those, that have said yes to Jesus. So God, we commend and commission this team to be your hands and your feet, to be your eyes and your ears, to share Jesus, the name that changes everything. And all of God's people said. So they're going to kind of make their way off, and let me just say this, stay right where you're at. Each week now for the last few weeks, just to sense this calling to do this, I have a blessing for you, the church. And so may in all that you do, in all that you say, in every situation in which you find yourself, in all that you are, may you elevate the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names, the name at which one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the name that truly indeed changes everything. May you elevate his name in all that you do and all that you are. Amen. You're dismissed.